We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hockey Talkie. I am Travis. I got Jesse on the line. How's it going, Jesse?
Good, good, good. Can't complain. Just basically mulling over who I was supposed to play for fantasy football this weekend.
Football's starting today.
Yeah. I'm super excited to watch some of that. It's been a while. So hopefully all you guys finished your drafts by now and have some good football teams. That's basically what I've been up to all day.
The Patriots somehow got Antonio Brown. So I don't know how it happens, but I'm a Patriots fan. So as long as he's not a headache for my team, I support that. I approve that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's got to be... I mean, some people say he's the best receiver of all time. Obviously, Brady is the best quarterback of all time. Definitely things could be interesting. So I have Brown on my fantasy team. Yeah, exactly. So I got Brown on my team. It was funny. I was shopping him yesterday. I was like, does anybody just want this mental guy? And nobody said anything. And now he's on this, like, God-tier team. So it's like... maybe a good blessing that he's still on my team. So I'm excited to see what he can do. So it'll be good.
See, we are a hockey podcast, though.
True.
So hockey is coming up, but we had to talk about Antonio Brown. I mean, everyone's talking about it. So what we got for you guys today is we are going through the Atlantic Division. We're going to be talking about Tampa, Toronto, Florida, Boston, Montreal, Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa. Giving you some picks for those teams, helping your draft. It's like... not even a month till our draft, Jesse, for our league of record. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know. It's like, what is it, the 29th? Today is the 8th. So, yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's nuts. We're getting into fantasy mode. You guys are going to get a bonus episode if you're subscribed on YouTube and stuff. Follow us on Twitter at FantasyNHLTalk. We are dropping an episode on Tuesday or maybe Wednesday, depending on when I get it edited. But that is going to be the industry experts, quotation marks. You can't see me doing that. But These are all guys that have podcasts and stuff, and we are going to be doing a draft with them. There's going to be, I think, 10 or 12 teams, all people that do podcasts. We're going to do the draft. Me and Jesse are going to be talking about our picks and where everyone else was going during the draft, and then we're going to release it on Wednesday. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, should be good. Definitely give you some insight into our decisions, trash talk some other teams and stuff like that. So, yeah, it should be a really fun podcast. I've never done anything like that before, so I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, and I've been doing mock drafts with them for a little while now, but we haven't done any recording. So this will be the first one that's the official draft for that Experts League, and we will be recording it. So I'm excited. I got my prep going. I hope everyone else got their prep. With that being said, we're going to the Atlantic. Let's start with the Boston Bruins today.
All right. Game 7 heartbreak.
Ooh.
Going to be some serious. It's going to be the worst. You get the shortest summer with no reward. So they're
Is
either going
to
be.
Is that actually a thing? Like that big playoff run, people are slow to start the next year. Like, is that true?
I think if you win, that's true. But if you lose, I don't know how that affects your mentality. If you just want to come back like harder and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, we were so close. We were one game away. I'm not too sure how that's going to affect the Bruins. A lot of those guys have like multiple cups and stuff like that. So I think there's some leadership. It should be okay. But yeah, it's nothing that would affect drafts or anything like that. So I expect St. Louis players to be more sluggish than anything. So obviously the top line there is the line. So he definitely
the number one line in the NHL, I think. Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, right?
Yeah, it's basically up there. That maybe that Colorado line is up there, but definitely you probably put them as the top line no matter what. Two of these guys should be going in your first round for sure, being Pasternak and Marchand. Yep. Bergeron's been looking as these ADP. He's around in the end of the second, third round kind of thing. He's the only guy to be kind of scary about just because of his health. And he had like a career season last year at like his early 30s is kind of weird. So
he almost hit 80 points last year, which is pretty good for 65 games.
Yeah, which is like bonkers. So
that definitely is a career year. So let's just break that down a little bit more. So Pastrnak in the first round, you're drafting him how early? So like let's say we're going Kucherov, MacKinnon, McDavid in top three. Is that who you're thinking top three? And then do we want Pastrnak close there, like in the five spot?
Yeah, I mean, he's if you're in a positional league, you're definitely going to take him earlier just because, you know, he's a right wing, not a huge disparity in that position. So, I mean, he's top 10 for me for sure, maybe like eighth or something. I think around there is pretty good. If he can play a full season, he might get like 90, 100 points. So that is just obviously something to look into. I take him for sure. First round, whenever you think you decide, like whatever position you want to cover kind of thing. If you're in a points only league, then you could wait, I guess, a couple more to grab a couple more of those like high producing guys, like maybe like a Barkov or something before. But for Pastrnak, I have no problem drafting him basically from five on.
Yeah, I got him for 95 points. And yeah, right after that five, I think I'm going to be looking for him in 6, 7, 8. And then in the same breath, at the end of that 6, 7, 8, I think is going to be my Marchand pick. If you're in a hits league or a PIM league, which I think the experts league is actually a PIM league. So I'd be flipping those two. I'd be drafting Marchand in the fifth and then Pastrnak at the 8 or 9. That kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, Marchand had like just sub 100 penalty minutes with 100 points. I mean, that's an insane stat line. So you might even be a little bit higher in certain of those PIM leagues. You could probably take this guy fourth, to be honest. So definitely something to keep an eye out is the PIM for this guy. So like I said, yeah, he's so good. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Bergeron in the third, just because it was health probably. Like there's a whole bunch of guys in the second round that I want a little more. Like Scheifele, Ratanen, you know, those kind of guys that will be going in the second. And then coming back, maybe grab Bergeron. That second line of DeBrusque, Krejci, and a rookie, Kuhlman. I hope I say that right. Any interest in that line?
Krejci had an insane year last year. He actually had 73 points. So he's definitely sneaky draftable as always. I don't really care about any of those other names, to be honest.
Do you remember why Krejci had a good year though? That's because Bergeron was out.
Yeah, exactly right. I was just thinking, so Krejci played 81 games of the 82, so he played a bunch, and then he got pumped up to that top line, got to play with some Marchand Bergeron or Marchand Pastrnak for a bit, so that inflated some stuff. So these guys I'd be kind of looking at to like regress a bit, so don't get too excited being like, oh wow, like I can get this crazy Krejci value. I think he'll get back to his like regular 60 points. But I mean, Bergeron gets injured every year. So, I mean, it's not like it's a bad draft pick anymore. So,
they're going to be scoring 80 points with missing 20 games, like a Malkin or something. I'm pretty sure that's safe.
Yeah, I agree.
It's crazy how that's safe. DeBrusque, is there any interest in there? I got him put for 55 points. He's a left wing, so that is like a, what am I trying to say here? Where there's not like many guys
scarcity in that position. Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like it's a scarce position on the left wing there. So is that an interesting play later in the draft?
Yeah, he'd be one of my last picks, maybe kind of thing. Like he'd be a very end of the draft kind of thing. I wouldn't go too crazy over DeBrusque. He did a 42 points in 68 games. So if he did play a full year, like you said, 50, 55 points kind of thing is definitely possible. And if Krejci is obviously a good center. But I'm not reaching or doing anything with this guy. Like I said, if he's there at the end of the draft, it's something I would look at. But nothing too crazy. I don't expect him to explode this year or anything. So to be honest, I don't really expect like any fantasy out of this team, to be honest, outside of like the top three forwards and then Krug and then maybe McAvoy, if you think he can do more over a full year.
That's what I was just going to go next. What do you think about Krug and McAvoy? Chara might not be ready for the beginning of the season. They just came out with that on the score last week. I really like Krug. He plays the top power play unit, which is where you want him. And then I also like McAvoy as a guy that's going to get some big minutes with Chara gone if Chara decides to hang him up this year. I've always been a McAvoy truther. You don't like him very much, do you?
Well, I mean, I think he's a great player. I just think his fantasy relevance isn't there yet. Because Krug's never going to get rid of that top power play position. I mean, he had 53 points in 60 games, basically, which is insane for a defenseman.
Yeah.
So I doubt they're going to do any sort of experimentation to move him up or down. So McAvoy gets that second unit, which is
drastically worse. Like,
yeah, not to totally shame them, but is it not as good at all? So McAvoy will get a lot of that 5-on-5
points.
That's
not shaming, saying you're not as good as them.
Yeah. So if you're in a sort of like dynasty or long-term year, I think McAvoy would be a great pick. I think eventually he'll turn into an absolute beast of a defenseman. Unfortunately, just his, deployment on this team doesn't give him the cool minutes with the top three guys. So it's a guy that I probably won't be looking at to draft at all this year, to be honest. So it depends on your draft type. So, but yeah, Krug is the guy to go for. And then if not, McAvoy is definitely the second choice if you want a piece of the Bruins kind of thing. He was injured a bunch last year, so that is good. Or not good, but that is means that like he should come back healthy and stuff like that. And
yeah, and he'll fall down in drafts a little bit because people will be afraid of that injury.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, do you think Krug's top five defenseman before we go into goalies?
Pretty close. Maybe
I think so.
Maybe fifth. Maybe it's got to be close. I mean, playing on that power play, it's free points. It's hard to argue. Like, if he stays healthy, 53 over 64 games, that's almost like flirting with 70 points, and that's an insane defenseman year. So,
that's great.
Yeah, so he's like a tier two guy kind of thing. Like, you got like your Burns and your big dogs, and then it's like right after is Krug kind of thing. So,
okay, then saying that, do you want Krug or Morgan O'Reilly? That's close, right?
Yeah, that is close. I'd probably take Krug just because he's still the number one, because Barry might eat into some other stuff. But if these guys can play 82 games, I don't think Pasternak had such a freak injuries last year with the weddings and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's got to be
the weddings,
like crunching his fingers and stuff like that. I mean, Bergeron, I expect to be injured because the guy's like held together by glue at this point. I mean, winning Stanley Cups with punctured lungs and stuff like that back in the day. So, if they can just get a little lucky and then get some full seasons out of these guys, you can have some insane numbers. Like, Krug could be easily like a top four defenseman if he just plays 82 games, he gets like 75 points. Like, that'd be absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's definitely in the scope. High ceiling for Krug,
High
floor. Like, I think that's a great pick. The goalies, you got Rask, you got Halak. I'm nervous about this. I say Rask is 25 wins, but also Halak has probably about 20.
Yeah, I think it'll be the exact same as what they did last year. I think they're going to give them literally almost a 50-50 split. Basically, the reasoning behind this is to keep Rask healthy and fresh for the playoffs, which obviously worked quite well because they got to the finals. So I would be expecting more of the same. So obviously, if you have to pick one, you pick Rask, but it's going to be the super chops kind of thing. Like, they're going to play.
It might be a straight timeshare. Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. Because I mean, looking at last year, it was a 40 and 46 for game started with Rask, the slight edge.
Yeah.
Also, Rask is notorious for playing like terrible in the first half of the season. So it's not a guy you want to have on your team on the first 3 or 4 months of the year, just because you're going to be like, do I just drop him for Halak? Like, what do I do here? Like,
yeah.
So
like Rask, Kopitar, Philip Forsberg, like they're all slow starters and you're going to be pulling your hair out. You don't want to get off to a slow start because that'll ruin your momentum.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're in a head-to-head league, these guys can definitely cost you. So, I mean, I'm going to stay away from both these goalies, so I don't want to be part of them, even though these are, like, don't get me wrong, the Bruins is a powerhouse team, and they will get, like, 49, 50 wins. It's just getting half of those is tough. So, I'm sure Rask will end up being a top 10 goalie at the end of the year kind of thing. Well, maybe. 27 wins is 20. If he gets,
I don't know, man. That's close.
Does that put you in the top 10 these days? I don't know. I know a lot of teams want to do the timeshare stuff. So
Rask needs to steal a little more. He needs to get a little above 30, like 33. I'm a little more pleased if he gets 33 wins or something. But that's 6 more wins and 6 more starts you need. So I don't know if that's happening. on this team, your rookie watch is, I already mentioned, Carson Kuhlman.
Okay.
That's your, he's playing. He's slated on the third or second line. Second line would be great with Krejci and DeBrusque, so look for him if you're in any sort of dynasty. He will be playing this year. That's all I got for those guys. You want to move on to Buffalo?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, nothing really else to touch on for Boston for sure.
Buffalo's this team that looks good on paper. They're piecing together. They got emergence of Dahlin, Eichel. Skinner was a revelation for them last year playing with Eichel. That was really good. 85 points is what you're looking at the ceiling for this team for like Eichel. And then you're really drastically dropping off there to like the Sam Reinhardts, the Skinners, the Dahlins, and stuff like that. In goal, you got Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark. Interesting team upside. Lots of upside on this team. Who are you going for?
Honestly, Dahlin. That's all I want off this team.
What about Eichel?
I think I just won't ever be in a position to take him. I think he'll just be drafted before I would take him.
Yeah.
While I think Eichel is an absolute beast of a player, I mean, 82 points in 77 games on this god-awful team is absolutely incredible. So I do think he's definitely worth picking up, of course. So he's definitely the guy. If he can get some line mates to put together a nice year, I think he could easily get to like 90 points. I don't think it's just quite there yet. Skinner did have 40 goals, which is fantastic, but he still only ended up with 63 points. So it's not like it's really that big. People are going to be taking him really high.
I think Skinner gets the same. Like, I don't think he gets more than 65.
No, I can't see where the assists come from. Like, obviously, he's a goal scorer, and I love him for that. And if you're in a league that needs scoring, you can definitely pump him up your charts accordingly because he puts in goals like no one's business, and Eichel opens up a lot of space for him.
Well, Eichel had 54 assists.
Yeah, exactly. He's the team in assists. He had more assists than, like, the team had points after the fourth guy. So it's, like, ridiculous. Like, everything runs through this guy. He's an absolutely amazing player. I have no problems with picking him. I'm just, I agree with you. I think he's stuck in that mid-80s for now, which is not a bad thing. It's just, it just sucks to see a guy with, like, such raw skill and talent be kind of, like, just crushed by his line mates. It's almost a McDavid thing. Obviously, McDavid's just, McDavid gets Draisaitl sometimes, so at least he has that. But Eichel, that's as good as it's going to get. You get Reinhardt or Skinner. That's the kind of thing.
And actually, what they're even doing now, they're putting Victor Olofsson on the line with Eichel and Skinner. So that might be someone that's, like, he's a rookie. If he's going to be playing with Eichel and Skinner, that would be a very good rookie to pull into your team. In our league of record, we actually get, like, a free rookie keeper for the next year. So if you draft, like, a sneaky rookie like this, like Olofsson, then you're like, oh, I get to keep him on my team for one more year for free. So,
yeah,
that would be my
line for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
They definitely did some good pickups this year. I believe they got Marcus Johansson and
Vesey.
Yeah, VC and stuff like that. So VC, I could care. Yeah, I could care less about him. He might just whatever. But Mojo will definitely be good. He'll help out the power play and stuff like that. So I like him for later rounds. So I have no problems with that.
There's Shiri and Reinhardt. Any interest in those guys?
Reinhardt later would be fine. I think that's where he's going to stay, is around 65 points, basically. I don't think he's going to do that much better. Risto, there's lots of trade talk about him, so I'm not really sure where he's going to go.
Yes. So Dahlin you want for sure. Like, let's say Dahlin gets 55 points. That's probably pretty high for him, right?
Yeah.
But that's a good tier 3 defenseman. Nice little pickup. Ristolainen, I kind of liked for about 60 points. Like, I thought that was a good 60 points, but there's tons of rumors about him being traded. One of the teams is him going to Vancouver. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
Which would be very good for them because he'd play on a line with Tanev, and that would make their top pair defense, basically, would be Ristolainen. For the time being, he's a Saber, so he's playing with Dahlin. Good value, but he is not the gold scorer. Like, he's not the points guy on that team. Dahlin is the defenseman on that team where everything runs through. The power play and everything runs through Dahlin.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, they did pick up a bunch of defensemen in the offseason, which is really good. So that's why Risto is kind of expendable.
Yeah.
Like, they picked up Colin Miller, Brandon Montour, all these guys. They actually have a really decent defense core.
Yeah, and Colin Miller was all fine last year, too.
Yeah, exactly. So looking at what they see, yeah, they project Dolan and Miller to run the first power play units and then Risto on the second.
Yeah.
So that's a super downgrade for him. I would, yeah. So basically, like I said, Dolan is the guy that I'm really interested in this year. I think he'll take another step forward. He looks to be like an absolute number one overall draft pick kind of thing, like that. He's worth of the status. So that should be good. Risto, I think they should trade and try to get just more offense somewhere. Get Eichel, another winger or something. I don't know.
Just more pieces. I mean, their second line is Okposo on it still.
Yeah, like you can't have Okposo. Like, well, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with these guys. So, like, Mittelstadt needs to take a jump forward. He's another guy. They need another centerman is what they need, to be honest. So,
yes, really badly.
Because after Eichel, yeah, it goes to Mittelstadt, Rodriguez, and Johan Larsson. You can't win with that, like, at all. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so hopefully they can pick up a centerman somewhere and then do some damage there. But as it is right now, that's basically it for Buffalo.
Carter Hutton,
draft,
line
draft
is all marked.
For goalies, again, Hutton's probably the starter, but again, this is going to be another 50-50 chop, I'm sure. So I don't want any part of this situation at all. And they're not going to win a lot of games.
I don't think this is going to be a split. I think Carter Hutton's going to take the show. He played 50 games last year. That's great. I think he's going to get more wins. I'm putting him for just under 30 wins. Remember that Buffalo was the top of the league, remember, last year?
It's true. They had that 10-game win streak.
Yeah, right? They only... But the second half of the year, they only won 11 games. So,
yeah.
Out of, what, 37? They're 40 something, just over 40 games in the end, and they won 26. Or they won 11, sorry. 26 points. That's crazy, crazy bad. But Carter Hutton is the guy there. Let's just say that, Jesse. Timeshare, right? Yeah, I don't want to talk about Buffalo anymore.
Yeah, I'm just like doing a quick look at the goalies here. 15 wins for Allmark, 18 for Hutton. Yeah, I don't know.
That's atrocious, eh?
That's tough. Just don't be in a situation where you need a Buffalo goalie. That's all I can say.
Yeah, yeah. Can we just do this next team in like two sentences? We're looking at the Detroit Red Wings now. So you got some interesting players that I think might be traps this next year. You got Mantha, Larkin, and I think they're putting Bertuzzi on that top line. Pull it up here before I say that. Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Mantha, top line. And then Anthony Nocioù. I messed that up, I know. Philpa and Zadina. Zadina is the rookie on that line. So there's your another rookie watch. If you want to draft some rookies, Zadina would be a good pick for you. Other than that, I might draft Larkin in like the fifth or sixth, but he's only going to get 70 points. Anyone else on this team interest you?
Like beside Larkin, obviously he's the number one guy. Yeah, I don't want Anthony Nocioù. He did get 30 goals, so if you need goal scoring, that's a good pick. What else is there? Let's see. Nyquist is gone.
Mantha had 67. The defense and goalies. You got DeKaiser. Mike Green is still there. Yeah. And then you got Jordan Howard and Bernier on the back end. Not a lot on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Cromwell retires, so that opens up some space. What I've heard is a lot of hype about this Philip Ronick guy. He's supposed to take over the top power play eventually from Mike Green. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye out. Apparently, a lot of Detroit people are very happy about this guy. I don't watch any Detroit games, but he was a high draft pick. He was 53rd overall. So I think he's something to look at, especially for rookie defensemen. I don't know if I'll end up with the guy, but just a random rookie comment about him. So he's a guy to look at for this. Beyond that, yeah, you could take a flyer on Zadina and hope that he gets put some stuff together for his rookie campaign. But you're really limited by the team. So you draft Larkin, and then maybe if you're a Detroit homer, you take Mantha or something in the last round and hope for the best kind of thing.
Yeah.
I won't own any of these players. It's very unlikely unless Larkin falls into a very, very valuable spot for me. Beyond that, yeah, I don't want any defense on this team. I don't even want Zadina. I have no interest in him as a rookie on this team. Yeah, I just it's gonna be a long year.
It is for Detroit fans, and we have a diehard Detroit fan. I mean, you had your glory years already.
That's true, right?
Right, like you had a great team for a lot of years. Mike Green, I'm gonna still throw his name out there. You know that I like Mike Green. He was always a good points producing defenseman if he could stay healthy. If he's coming back, if he's starting the beginning of the year, I always pick up Mike Green like close to the end of the drafts, and I'll give him 20 games. If he gets injured, I drop him, and it's no sweat off my back.
No, right? Totally. I mean, like, yeah, if he's running the
units. He's a free defenseman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
I cut you off.
No, it's fine. I was just looking at his, like, he had 26 points in 43 games. So if he plays the full season, that's like a 50-ish point defenseman. Of course, Mike Green will never play a full season. Yeah, it's tough. The funny thing is I'm looking at this team and every single player is like not even close to playing a full season beside Larkin. It's kind of funny. Like they're all at like 60 games, 40 games, 50 games. So this team definitely had some bad injury luck last year. So that is something to keep track of. But yeah, they're going to be a trench team. The only good thing about this is if you really need a goalie at the end, you can take Howard because Howard started like 50 plus games last year.
Yeah, 55.
So he will get that again. If he can just turn another like 6 or 7 games into wins, he could get 30. Then all of a sudden you got like a really, really sneaky good goalie you drafted with the last pick.
Yep.
I'm sort of okay with that, but I don't know. The team's still not very good. It doesn't matter what you do. So, I don't really have a lot to tout about these guys. Yeah.
I only use Mike Green if I'm in dire need, like midway through the season, I have a couple injuries, hit my defense core. I'm like, who do I pick up? Oh, Mike Green's usually always there. Give him a couple games. He'll get you, give him 10 games. He'll give you 5 points and you'll be happy.
Yeah, no, totally. Like I said, yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Let's move on to a team that I'm pretty sure the top two lines will completely be drafted. Two defense and the goalie for sure. Florida Panthers.
The best team on paper for 4, like 5 years in a row.
Every time we do this segment of the podcast, it's always the Panthers are going to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
They look so good. So you know you got your top three, a really great line up front with Barkov, Huberdeau, and Dadonov. Second line, you got Hoffman, Trocheck, and whoever's on the other side of that. A magazine that I'm reading shows Tippett, but they move some guys around. That's another rookie that you're going to want. If they're going to play Owen Tippett up there, you're going to want to get him early and hold him as long as you can because he's going to be a stud. Defense, you got Yandel and Ekblad, which are perennial. Well, Ekblad not so much, but Yandel is always a beast for points and defense. And then you got the new addition of Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky will probably be the second goalie off the board in our draft after Vasilevskiy, I would imagine. Who do you want on this team, Jesse, besides everyone?
literally everyone. Like I said, yeah, I mean, I've been a huge Barkov fan forever, 96 points. Huberdeau took forever to arrive, and then now he's got 92 points. I picked up Hoffman last year. I mean, geez, this whole team is disgusting. Like, those top five players on the power play is what you'd be looking for, so I don't really need to talk too much about that.
Trocheck.
Okay, so Barkov should definitely go first round. End of the first round, 10th. That's what I'm trying to see around there. His value is a little tough because he's a centerman, if you're in those centerman leagues, but I don't think he'll do any worse than he did last year. So I would say, again, 95 points. So those kind of guys should be taken in the first round.
Yep. I think he cracks 100, just to add that.
Yeah, I can't see why not. Huberdeau, if he's attached to Barkov, will definitely get a lot of points again, probably in the round. Yeah, I'd say low 90s is probably as high as he's ever going to get kind of thing. So I'm okay with that. Hoffman is interesting because he only gets like 70 points. I mean, I say only, but he gets a lot of them on the power play. So I have collected a boatload of power play points off this guy. He doesn't get the 5-on-5 minutes with the good guys, but he's an absolute sniper on the power play. He had the most goals for the entire team. So I definitely like him later. Takes a lot of shots. Dadonov's a guy that doesn't give you any peripherals, so he's definitely someone to look out for. He's not going to hit. He's not going to shoot a lot. He's more of a pass-first kind of guy. That being said, he still had 28 goals, so it's not like it's totally that. But again, power play producer. I like him mid-ish, like 6th, 7th round kind of thing. And then Yandel played 82 games, got 62 points, gets that top power play. I mean, what else do you need?
Awesome. Yep.
Definitely a guy you should be taking. You can like reach for him a bit kind of thing. So I like him because he's kind of a sneaky name still. Like people think, like they don't immediately think, oh yeah, Yandel's this like super stud guy. I got to like take him. You can always get him a little bit later than you should. And yep. He always pays off.
Everyone always forgets about him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, yeah, my biggest question mark is just Trocheck for this year. I mean, he obviously died last year and then came back.
Was resurrected?
He didn't really look that great. So I don't know. I don't know. He's the guy that he's always known for his great peripherals. He takes the shots. He gets the points. He does the hits. He's like kind of does everything, wins faceoffs. Like he's just a beast of a player.
Yeah.
So he had 34 points in 55 games. So it is kind of scary. I don't know what to do with Trocheck just yet. I'm sure he'll bounce back and be just fine and probably hit 60 points kind of thing.
I think Trocheck, 65. He's on a he's on like a trap power play unit. That second power play unit is Vetrano, Bjorkstrom, Tippett, Ekblad, and Trocheck.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean,
it looks good. I want some of these guys. Like they could have value. And then I think it's going to be a trap for you. I don't think you're going to be rewarded every day because they're going to play that number one unit so much.
No, right? I agree.
And
I mean,
like, they're going to get 30 seconds of a 2-minute power play. Well, the other power play gets a minute and a half.
Yes, exactly. Assuming they don't score anyway, and then you just lose your power play time anyway. So, I'd be very surprised. Trocheck would have to be a very late pick for me to be interested. I don't even know if I'd even, well, maybe. It would have to be late for me to be on the Trocheck chain kind of thing. This team, like, there's lots of fantasy value here and like some absolute beasts of players, which is exciting.
How would you feel if you were in the draft? Like, let's say you're in the 10th or 9th spot just as the snake comes around. Would you go Barkov first round, Huberto next pick right after? That could be 200 points right there.
That is true. I would probably go, if we had to stay on the same team, I'd probably just go Barkov Bob and just be done with it. I mean, it's not a terrible play. I mean, you lock up a centerman and a winger right away. If you're in a positional league, it's probably a great idea. But of course, those positional leagues are like usually head-to-head. So of course, if Florida has a bad week, then all of a sudden you lose your week kind of thing. So that is also kind of tough to deal with. But you can't go wrong with that's 200 points, right? So I don't hate it. I love having teammates and stuff like that. It's cool. So I would be okay. I just don't know if I would. I don't know. It would have to be I'm just trying to think, like, if I'm in like the 12th spot, and so I get like 12th Barkov, and then it's like, okay, do I take Huberto or do I take a goalie? That's
you might
tough.
Have to take a goalie in the 12th.
I might,
because you'd be so long till another one came
back. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think, is you have to wait another 12, 24 picks, basically, till you get to pick again. So that one hurts.
Let's talk about Bob here then. Do you agree that he's the second goalie off the board?
Yeah, for sure. I've been a Bob fan since Philly. I mean, I think most people would agree. Like, I mean, they got rid of Reimer. There's literally no backup on Florida. So they drafted him to be like, hey, you know, you're used to playing 60 plus games, like one of the last few super workhorse goalies out there. He's going to be a beast. He's going to start 60, probably 63 games. And he's going to win 40 of them. I want this guy so, so bad. The only thing is, of course, we talked about us doing salary cap leagues. The 10 million salary cap that he commands is going to be tough. So that's something to navigate around. Of course, if you're not in that kind of league, that doesn't matter. Just draft him. He definitely should be the number two goalie off the board, in my opinion. So I have no problem.
I got something interesting for you. Here's this magazine that I have in front of me. Which one is this? Pooler's Guide. So I'm looking at the Pooler's Guide right now. They just have like the list, like the top goalies.
Sure.
Guess who's number one?
Ben Bishop.
No, the goalie we were talking about, Bobrovsky.
Oh, they put him over Vasilevskiy.
They put Bobrovsky with 65 games played with 40 wins, and they put Vasilevskiy with 58 and 40 wins.
Oh, okay.
So they have him tied for the same amount of wins, but Bob will get more games played and a little bit more stats there with shots and stuff.
Yeah, more saves, etc. Yeah.
Interesting, yeah, eh?
No. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they're going to play this guy. Yeah, he's going to be great. I mean, he was great on Columbus. Columbus was a good team. This team is just like, it's better.
Exponentially better. I think it's way better.
It's pretty way better. So,
Pretty way
better. No, I love Florida, man. I've been a Florida fan for so long, ever since like whatever. And I just want them to succeed every year, and they just never do it. So finally, this has got to be it. I mean, there's nothing else you can add to this team. Goaltending is no longer a question. Not that Luongo was bad. The guy just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
But that's the last hurdle. I mean,
that's right. There's no concern anymore.
Yeah. If you can't make the playoffs with this absolute 200 point players, a Vezina goalie, depth, great defense. Yeah, this might be one of the teams with the most drafted players at the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, like I think they'll have as many players drafted as Tampa and Tampa
or Toronto and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking of these big power teams. Like you literally want the top six, you want the defenseman, you want the goalie, and you could take Ekblad later too as well. And you might even take, yeah, it's going to be nuts. So I'm excited. There's going to be a lot of Tampa guys gone. So I can't wait.
Yeah. Let's go from that exciting talk to Montreal. Okay. I don't think they have a player that's going to break 70 points on their roster here. They have Philippe Danault, the number one center, which had a good year. Gallagher, Tatar, Drouin, Domi. They have some good young players that, you know, they're kind of hovering around 60 points right now. Defense is pretty decimated. They got Shea Weber out of that Subban deal. He's kind of a guy that hangs around. Petrie is always a power play guy that people pick up midway through the season when he starts lighting up. And then they got Carey Price. And then, am I reading this right? Do they got Kincaid as well?
Apparently they do. They must have picked him up.
Wow. Okay. So out of those guys, I am telling you right now, I will not draft a single one.
Yeah, Domi, he had 72 points last year. He probably will regress a little bit, I'm guessing. He had like outer-worldly shooting percentages and stuff like that. So he should stick around to the 60-point range. Tatar looked good, 60 points. Drew and I wouldn't touch with this 10-foot pole. He's so inconsistent. Yeah, this team, yeah, I mean, I don't know. If Weber can play 82 games, he's definitely a guy you want to draft. I mean, he still had 14 goals. So if you need goals from defensemen, this guy still can pot him like no one else. So, yeah, it's basically if you believe that Weber's healthy enough to draft, I think, yeah, I mean, if we're staying with the players as it is right now, there's no one I want. I'd be surprised. There's no way I want anyone, even Kotkaniemi.
Yeah, there you go.
I think he's stuck around the same thing. He's going to get 30 points again this year. Nothing to really go crazy about rookie-wise.
That pooling, Ryan.
Yeah.
He's gonna get some time probably in the bottom six. So I mean, he's a guy that you could look for.
Yeah, the hat trick in one game. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. The person I want is maybe Weber late, and then I am very hesitant on Carey Price. What he has the ability to steal games, so he could get 30 wins. Like on the high side, he got 35 last year. Is that someone you're looking at late, or I just don't know.
No, yeah, I still want Price. I still think they'll win games. I still think he'll have around mid-30s, like maybe not 35, but like, well, I guess what's the difference between 33, 35 kind of thing. So he's still going to get all the starts. Kincaid ain't going to steal a lot kind of thing. So I still will draft Price as a goalie. I think he still might end up being a top 10 goalie. So I'm okay with Price, to be honest. I don't really have a lot of faith in his team, but I do think he still will end up with like those wins. And again, the guy plays like so many games, so you're never like, oh my God, I'm losing starts. So I do like those kind of guys.
I might put him in like a value category, right? Because he's going to fall. No one wants to draft anyone from this team. So he's going to fall. You're in the 10th, 12th round. You need a second or third goalie. There's nothing wrong with picking up Price. Maybe I think he's a value now. I'm changing my mind.
Yeah, no, I would be, I would have no problem after having Price as my second goalie. I think that, no, I think 30 wins is the minimum. So that's okay. I mean, if getting, I mean, we were just talking about like Buffalo and these teams who can't get starter goalies for 30 wins. So
yeah,
I'm okay with Montreal getting me 30 wins as the second goalie, just be out of the sheer volume of games he plays. They'll go on a streak or whatever. The biggest guy for me is just Weber late. I'll probably take him with my last pick if he's available. Just hoping that he plays 82 games or just ride him till he dies kind of thing and then cut him. Beyond that, I think Domi is going to be super overdrafted. I don't really want a piece of him. Just going through. Yeah, I don't really want any Montreal players, unfortunately. So,
I don't got anything
to really hype. Yeah, no real things. The only thing, I guess, is if you're in a hit league, Shaw ended up with 47 points in 63 games, which is like kind of incredible. So
yeah,
I don't think Shaw can possibly replicate that again. 71 PM with 47 points. So that was pretty good. Domi's okay if you're in a PIM league as well. He looks like he has a good chunk of 80 to go 72 points. So I think Domi should be drafted, of course. I just don't know if you'll ever have the right spot to extract the value. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So, so that's a tough one for me.
It's not getting better, Jesse. We're going to the Ottawa Senators.
I know. This division really is like feast or famine here.
So Ottawa... You got Stone. Oh, wait, no, never mind. He's gone. You got Deshane? No, Deshane's gone too. Oh, you got Dzingel,
right?
No, Dzingel's gone too.
This so must have problems, right?
They got no one. They got no one on this team. You got Brady Tkachuk, Colin White, and Batherson playing on that top line right now. Batherson is another rookie. There's lots of rookies getting lots of playing time in this division because the teams are so low skill. So, Batherson is going to be playing that top line. You got Anisimov. Bobby Ryan is still there, I guess. Chabot, last year's defensive darling. Zaitsev came over from Toronto. And then you got Craig Anderson, which having trouble staying healthy as of late. Anyone? Chabot late?
Yeah, I'll say Chabot is definitely a guy. It might even be worth taking him even earlier, to be honest, because the entire team is going to run through this guy and he will get 50 points just by existing and playing 27 minutes a night and all the power play. So I do like Chabot a lot here. If you're in Dynasty League, Brady Tkachuk will eventually be a great player. Unfortunately, you just need to get a team around this guy.
Yep.
Colin White, de facto number one center. So again, a guy you can draft just because he's going to get opportunity and points. I'm not saying they're going to be massive amount of points, but I mean, I'm sure he's good for 50-ish points. But like I said, yeah, this isn't a team you should be looking for anything at all. If I had to, it would just be Tkachuk, Chabot, and that'd be it. I would take Chabot even like sixth round, to be honest. I like him a lot. I think he's like, it's going to be another Carlson situation where it's like, you have this god tier player on an absolute trench team, but he's going to get every opportunity to get points. Tkachuk gets lots of PIM, plays hard, so he's definitely a guy I would take maybe with like a last pick kind of thing if you're looking for like a hitter or PIM kind of guy. The points only in the league, just avoid him. There's no one on this team for that. So
any interest in Anderson?
No, I don't want any part of these goalies. I mean, Anderson, he played 50 games, got 17 wins. Wow, I thought I read that wrong.
17 wins.
Yeah, he had 17 wins, 27 losses. That's incredible. That's gonna stay the same. I don't know if there's any I'm sure they got to give more starts to Nielsen. So
yeah.
3.5 goals against average. Holy.
Isn't that crazy? There's no one else I want to talk about on this team, but I am going to make a bold prediction about this team.
Sure.
I predict that Thomas Chabot gets 57 points and he leads the team in points.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I was going to say, if Chabot plays 82 games, I'd give him, like, 63 points, and he, like, eclipses the entire team.
Yeah, so, exactly, right? Like, he's the only person that I want anything to do with there.
Yeah, I think, this guy's going to be a fantastic player. Unfortunately, he's just got to wait for the team to get better and picks to arrive, players to arrive. I know there was a lot of hype about Batherson. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition this year. So there are some things moving up and down, but yeah, it's going to be a fantasy wasteland. This is going to be a team, of course, contending for 31st in the league. So nothing to
too
excited about. Yeah.
When you're doing those rebuilds, I guess you just got to trust the process, get some high draft picks, and wait it out. Sorry, Ottawa fans. That's going to be a tough one for you.
Yeah, I mean, they got... Yeah, no. It's not even worth mentioning. It's like they've got that Brännström guy who's supposed to be like a prodigy defenseman as well.
Yeah.
But he will not arrive this year, that's for sure. So, but he'll definitely get some minutes. So a guy just to keep in your dynasty back pocket. But obviously, if Chabot's there, he's going to eat all his minutes. Anyway, just trying to find anything positive on Ottawa. That's all I got.
Well, you did good. You did admirable.
Feels good.
Let's go to a team that's probably going to have 10 people over 60 points. we're talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, they have been a couple years now the Stanley Cup favorites moving into the league. Ousted in the first round by Bobrovsky. So this team is loaded. You got Stamkos, which should be probably drafted as in the first round. You got Kucherov, which should be going 1-1. I think he has supplanted McDavid. Then you got a great supporting cast with Braden Point. Palat is playing on that top line right now, so he's going to have some value. You got an insane defensive core with Victor Hedman, Sergachev, and newly acquired Shattenkirk, which could be making some ripples. And then you got Vasilevskiy on the back end. This team has so much talent. I'm not going to get any of it because they're going to be drafted really high. Who don't you want on this team? Maybe that's easier to say.
Oh, my God. That's so hard.
So you want Stamkos and Kucherov in the first round?
Yeah, Kucherov for sure. Obviously, 128 points last year. Absolutely insane.
Can't argue.
Like, what else are you supposed to say? So he'll be fantastic. Stamkos sneakily had 45 goals, which is really cool to see him getting goals again. So a big fan of that. Point, obviously, 92 points. Hedman. I mean, players I don't want are Gord. I think he's done. I think he's maxed at 50. Tyler Johnson, all those guys. I think Palat's a trap. If he's on the first line, it doesn't matter. The guy's not that good of a player. So I don't, hopefully guys don't go full JT Miller and be like, oh, there's a guy on the top line with these guys. He's going to like,
hey, that's what I did last year.
No, I know. It's tough not to drink the Kool-Aid when you play 200 plus points on one line. Yeah. So, So even though he's there, just ignore that. Don't get attached to that. Defense-wise, obviously, Hedman should be fantastic. Hopefully, he can stay healthy. He missed 12 games, missed a bunch of playoff games as well. So that's a big concern. The good news is they had a really long summer, as depressing as it is. I'd rather go out in the first round than the last round for fantasy value. So I'm excited for Hedman to hopefully fix whatever's happening. He's kind of a band-aid for a giant guy, which is weird. So I'm hoping he rehab whatever you need to rehab.
70 games played and 54 points last year.
Yeah.
Like, still really good, but like, if he can just get up to that 80 points, he's looking at like a 65 point defenseman, which would be huge.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to play the 80 games, 82 games. That first unit power play is nuts. Point Kucherov, Stamkos, Hedman. Again, I don't know why Palat's on the first unit. Maybe there just is no one else. So that might be kind of sneaky for Palat, but again, I don't know if
that's
these
the
guys
same as JT Miller last year, man.
Yeah, like, will they stay? Will he stay there the whole year? That's unknown.
Do they even need another player there? Like, should they just play Stamkos and Kucherov?
Yeah, like, what? Yeah, I mean, there's Platt's just the corner guy, I guess. He just, like, fetches the puck for them and then just doesn't do anything. Like, I don't really know what his role would be. It can't be anything of importance. Obviously, he's not going to be taking the shots with those four guys. So,
He's probably told in meetings, don't shoot. Like, just pass it to these guys.
Yeah, his basic role is go in there, hit the defenseman.
Exactly.
And just give it back to Hedman or give it to Stamkos on the point and stand in front of the net and hopefully the puck hits you and goes in. Like, that's basically your role. So, even though he's on the top line, I have no love for that guy. The second line looks really strong. Braden Point, Johnson, Gord, of course, but...
Point Johnson is the guy I want there really bad.
Yeah, Point looks great. I mean, this team's disgusting. It's so good. It's so strong. Defense-wise, I still only want Hedman, though. I don't really care about Sergachev yet. I think Shattenkirk will be okay.
Come on, come on. I know you're thinking about it. You're thinking about Shattenkirk.
He'd be a last round pick, and I had no defenseman left. And I'd be like, maybe.
I think he's gonna have a bounce back year.
I think he'll do okay. Yeah, I think he'll get maybe 35, 40 points and be kind of relevant again in the world. So,
and then just imagine when Victor Hedman has his 10 game injuries, how sought after Shattenkirk's going to be for that stretch.
I didn't think about that. It is true because right? Who did I take last year? McDonough.
Yeah, exactly.
Because McDonough ended up with 50 points last year, which is insane for a defenseman. And it's because he had that like 12 game spot where he got to play the top power play, and I was getting like 2 points a night out of this guy. So that is something to actually really concern or to think about.
And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be McDonough. It's going to be Shattenkirk. I would take Shattenkirk as a late round defenseman. I think he's going to get playing time. Even the 5-on-5, Shattenkirk and Hedman is going to be great.
If he plays with Hedman, it's going to be. I do agree. I do think he's going to be worth.
Am I changing your mind?
Well, I mean, it's not changing too much. I do believe he should be drafted. I just don't know when yet. It's something I'd have to consider.
I'll take it. I'll take that as a win.
Yes, it's not bad. Not bad.
I also have one other thing I want to bring up here, just before we end Tampa, because we don't need to talk about all these players 1,000 times. Vasilevskiy. So let's say he's going to get 40 wins this season. Like, that's on the high end, right? Best he's going to do. They also picked up McElhinney this year, who had a very good year last year with Carolina and was part of a goalie tandem that did very, very well. I would not be surprised if Vasilevskiy tweaks things throughout the season and all of a sudden you're seeing McElhinney poach these starts when normally Vasilevskiy would have played through because of goalie depth. But now they're going to say, okay, Curtis McElhinney's here. Let's give him a couple extra starts. So I'm starting to bump down Vasilevskiy just a little bit to 35 wins. That's maybe where Bob will elevate above Vasilevskiy in my mind anyway. What do you think about that?
I still think Vasilevskiy will get the 40 wins. But I do think he might get a few little less starts. He was injured for a huge portion of last year, which is why he didn't end up with like the crazy big numbers. But the team is so strong that like Louis Domingue, who came in, he went 21-5. So, yep. I mean, and that's Domingue. So, I mean, if you got McElhinney, like these actual NHL goaltenders, they're definitely going to be able to get wins for you all the time. And any back-to-back will be McElhinney. He'll get a free win there every time. Yeah. So I do think that he's going to take a lot more starts. I think Vasilevskiy still hits 40, maybe 38 to 40 is what I'm still guessing, just because the team is too strong. I think they're just going to win every game he plays. I'm still Vasilevskiy on the Vasilevskiy train. So I still like
him. Yeah, I'm still there, but I just wanted people to think about that just a little bit because McElhinney's there. And if Vasilevskiy goes down with any sort of injury, they're not worried. McElhinney will take over that starting role. Look on your waivers like before the injury happens and pick him up if you can. Anyone else you want to mention before we go on there?
Well, I will bring up they got swept, obviously. Vasilevskiy had a sub 85% save average. So they might go the Boston way this year and rest Vasilevskiy a lot more.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of having 62 wins in the regular season? It doesn't get you anything, right? So
yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they probably take maybe 10 starts off this guy a little bit extra just to get him to be super rested for the playoffs. Because, I mean, the window is open.
Yeah.
Again, they're going to be the favorites. So, yeah, I'm not against Vasilevskiy taking a little step back in the wins just based on starts. So I could see him starting 50 games instead of 60 kind of thing.
You're not going to go out and pay McElhinney to not play him, right? Like he had the option to be a number one in Carolina.
So and it doesn't matter who's in net anyway. That's the thing.
Right. Like exactly. They got an actual starting goalie there to play. So, I mean, they're going to be comfortable playing him in any position. If Vasilevskiy cuts his finger, they'll just be like, okay, McElhinney will get the start today. That's fine.
Yeah, I really think. Yeah, I think they are going to rest Vasilevskiy a lot more this year because I'm looking at these playoff stats. I think that is something that they're going to identify and be like, we don't need to just kill the regular season.
Yeah,
and this team just wins games just based on its team. It doesn't need to be who in net. So Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Vasilevskiy take a step back. And that actually kind of makes me want to take Bob now over Vasilevskiy.
See, I'm changing your mind. One person at a time, kind of
sacrilege to think about. But I think they, for the sake of the cup, I think they should be resting Vasilevskiy a lot more. So I think the 55 games is where they're going to play him. And then they're going to give like the 30 to McElhinney. So
yeah, it definitely. You don't pick up a goalie like that not to play him.
He's still a top two goalie, of course, but definitely something to consider. So, yeah. I wonder if they will do that. They should, though. I mean, if I'm the GM,
they really should.
I'd be like, do it. I mean, Rask is terrible. And, well, not terrible, but Rask is whatever. And he got him all the way to the final. So, I mean, there might be a little something there about resting your goalies. So,
more and more timeshares are happening in the league every year. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah,
that's why I always say punt that goalie position to the very end so that you don't have to worry about timeshares. Let's move on. Let's move on to Toronto Maple Leafs. They're probably close behind Tampa as a team that has built a solid contender. They could be going real far if they can get past Boston ever in the playoffs.
True.
They got John Tavares, the big acquisition last year, had a really good season. Marner, hopefully he signs soon. Matthews and Nylander on that second line. Defense that is probably one of the best in the league with Morgan Riley, Barry, Muzzin. And then you got Freddie Anderson in net. Great team. They also picked up Jason Spezza. I like Jason Spezza in his prime, but not fantasy relevant anymore.
No, I mean, if you're in a face-off league, maybe. I probably do a lot of penalty.
Is that a real thing?
Well, leagues that count face-offs, not like a pure face-off league. Because I think he'll take a lot of those defensive end ones. Lots of... Yes. But yeah, so of course the big names here are... Well, the names, obviously, if Marner resigns, expect another 90-point season out of him, no problem. Assist-heavy guy. Yeah, Tavares almost hit 50 goals last year. Yeah, got the players.
For him.
Yeah, 90 points, same thing. Austin Matthews, again, if the guy can just stay healthy. To me, he's still undraftable for me based on health. I know that sounds weird for people, but he's a guy that will go in the first two rounds because there's always a Leaf guy and people, like, don't get me wrong, Matthews is an absolute God-tier player. He scores, like, the most goals per 60. He has insane stats. I just think he's going to be injured every year just based on how it's going to happen. So I expect him to miss another 10 games, but he will overperform. He will score goals and get 70 to 75 points. So
yeah,
to me, he's a trap, a guy that I'm kind of scared about. If he can put a full season together, then I will get on the train. But as I've seen so far, he's that 60 game guy. So he's kind of freaks me out. So it just sucks because, like, to get Austin Matthews, you have to pick him in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, so if you really want him, you got to grab him. I don't think I'll ever end up with him on my team.
And let's just remember for a second, Austin Matthews doesn't play with Marner. Like, that's John Tavares on the first line.
Yeah.
So, like, do you want to go with the number one center here, or do you want to go with the number two center that are being drafted probably back to back in most leagues, like the second round in the 15th, 16th pick? That's crazy. I think Tavares is the number one pick there all the time. Matthews, I'll wait till third or fourth. But you can't get him in.
But he'll never be there. That's the thing. And then obviously Morgan Riley had an absolute monster year, 72 points, played all 82 games. Definitely due for a little bit of regression. They brought in Barry, which is one of the huge trades they made in the offseason. Barry coming in, kicked out Kadri. That's going to be a tough loss for them. But, I mean, they'll still be fine. I like Kerfoot. I like the guys they got. They have a great top three lines. It's fine. More trap players to look at is like Zach Hyman again. Yeah, you play with Tavares and Marner, but you're not going to get more than 50 points ever. It's just not how it works. Yeah. So, the big bounce back, the big candidate for this year is William Nylander, right? So,
yeah,
he missed all those games last year with the holdout. He got 27 points in 54 games last year, basically good for 0.5 per game. I think he's going to have a huge year this year. I really want Nylander. I think he's going to just put his nose to the grindstone kind of thing, play the game. He changed his number to 88, which means he's going to get 88 points like his boy Kane. So I'm super excited for that. He should get top power play line, maybe. I'm not sure what they're going to do. If it's, I guess they give it to Johnson right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what they've moved around or not.
What do you think over-under on Nylander for 68 points?
Man, I think it's over. I think he gets 70, 75 points.
Really?
Yeah, I think the team just scores too many goals for him not to get 75 points. That's and he plays hope. With Matthews, which is disgusting. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a great, great year. So I definitely a player I'm looking at to draft on this team because I know I'm not going to get a piece of any of these players. Just based on homers and people drafting, like there's no way I'll end up with Tavares or Matthews, so right. I wouldn't mind getting or Marner, etc. Yeah, so Nylander's up there again. I'm looking at, and then yeah, Barry, if he plays with Riley, that's an absolutely disgusting defense pairing. So this team is going to score a million goals. It's just, you know, whoever you draft is going to be fine, to be honest. I'm just saying, just don't reach for some of the crazy guys and hope for the best, but the team, I mean, is going to score so many goals. Oh my God.
Yeah. Where do you think Morgan Riley fits in terms of defensemen? Is he going to be in that top five?
I think he'll be drafted. Just, yeah.
Like you got maybe. Burns, Carlson. Is he like the number three even, or Riley, Hedman in that top two?
It might be now, honestly, like John Carlson's up there and maybe a couple other guys that I just can't think of offhand, but yeah, he might be fourth off the board, that kind of thing. He might even go earlier, to be honest. I mean,
do you like that or
gun to my head? I don't know if I'd rather have Morgan Riley or Erik Karlsson right now. I'm just trying to think, like
that's close.
It's close. I mean, Eric's always injured. Riley's on an absolute scoring machine of a team. He gets that first unit. It's tough, man. Like, I would rather draft Riley.
I would probably draft Riley.
Than Matthews at this point. So,
oh, wow.
Man, that's tough. So,
yeah, I think Riley is the fourth, the third defenseman off the board. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
And then same in the same breath, almost Frederik Andersen, I think, is be the third or fourth goalie off the board. I love him going into this year. He is going to get all the starts because they had Garrett Sparks there, which they don't anymore. And they got Hutchinson from the Jets. So you like Andersen as the third or fourth goalie as well, I'm assuming?
Yeah, he always gets the starts. They gave him 60 last year. I'm sure it'll be the same. Yeah, they have no one else to play, and they need to win games. They're in a tough division. So he's going to play every single game. If he can just... Well, I mean, their team is arguably... Well, I mean, it depends how much you value Kadri, I guess, if you want to say arguably better. But I guess if they get a,
actually.
If you get a full year of Nylander, hopefully that might offset it. But I do think people are going to miss Kadri more than they think. Yeah, the suspensions and stuff were bad, but he's still actually like a really good player. He's one of the guys that would actually go out there and hit people.
Yeah,
like add some sandpaper to the line. Yeah, exactly. So I think he's going to be missed a lot more than people think. So, but I put him around for the same thing. He got 36 wins last year and 60 starts. I'd say they chop up an extra win or two. So I'd say 38 wins and same thing, 60 starts. So I definitely a top three goalie to draft. You could even argue Andersen over Vasilevskiy if you think Vasilevskiy can get the starts back. Now I think about it, but this is a guy that's not going to get reduced starts though, because they can't.
Right. Yeah, they can't afford that.
Hutchinson's like think... 500 goalie. He can't play him now.
Yeah, right. If your league does anything with shots, this is a guy that you want to pick up because he always has tons of shots on net. Well, yeah, he doesn't have the shots on net, but he takes the shots on net. No, what am I trying to say?
Well, he receives
the shots on net.
Yeah. I mean, he almost had 2,000 saves last year, which is a ton of points. Funny stat about Andersen, he's only had one shutout last year, which is kind of a testament to how bad the defense was, that they're no matter how many games they won five, they're always 5-1 or something. So definitely something to keep in mind that he's not a shutout type goalie like a Rene or something like that. But that's nothing you should really care about, to be honest. So, but yeah, I think 38 wins is where I want to put him at. So I think he gets two more than last year. And again, top three goalie for sure. I would love to have Andersen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'd be great, but you'd have to pull the trigger on him fairly early in order to lock him down like in the second round or something. But
yeah, end of the second kind of thing. Yeah. So I was thinking
that's kind of normal for those big goalies that are going to get lots of play time. Hey, that's it.
That's the Atlantic.
The Atlantic.
So yeah, lots of fun teams, lots of trench teams. Yeah, I think the only real mover this year is going to be the Panthers. They'll bump up a bit. Tampa should win the division again, of course. Boston, Toronto are going to fight. And then Panthers should be hot on their trail and knock the Canadiens out. So that should be it. Bottom team should remain the bottom. Senators, Wings, Sabres should all remain super trench and bad. So nothing too exciting there. Yeah,
that that's seemed like it was a fast one just because there were so many teams that, like, not much going on.
Yeah, I mean, either the teams are super strong and it's nothing to talk about, or they were super trash. And again, there's nothing to talk about. So not a lot of insight you can bring into the Atlantic Division, as it seems. So
you're either drafted or you're not.
Yeah, essentially. I'm just trying to think if there's any way the playoffs will be different this year for Toronto, because I think they still will have to play Boston, if I'm doing this correctly.
I think they will too. Yeah.
Unless Panthers take a massive step forward and win another 12 extra games.
Cool.
I don't think that's possible. I think, of course, they'll make the playoffs and be a really strong team. But I just don't. Yeah, Tampa should be the same thing. Maybe not 62 wins, but maybe high 50s or something this year. But yeah, it should be the same as always. Bruins, Leafs, playoffs, and same old kind of thing. So
this division's gonna have a lot of fighters for that first overall pick, I think.
Oh yeah, you can argue three alone, like almost half. Is fighting for the number one pick. So yeah, it's going to be, I mean, that's the beauty of the Atlantic, is the top teams get to feast on these terrible bottom teams. Like, oh sweet, I get to play Detroit four times this year. All right.
Yeah.
Free
Tampa,
four wins.
You're just laughing.
Yeah. You're like, thanks for the sweep. Like, that's 8 points right there.
Those will be McElhinney games. Just so you know. Times.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Like, sweet. Rest the goalie. Halak gets to play. So, yeah, no, good division. We're finally wrapped up the East. East usually has the most exciting teams for the scoring. That's usually how it is. We'll get into the West next week or so. So, like, as you said, we'll do the draft Tuesday.
Yep. You'll have a bonus episode from the hockey experts, quotations, the guys that do lots of podcasts and stuff. So other guys like us, and me and Jesse will be co-managing a team. So we'll be talking about where to pick guys, who we're thinking about in that position. Kind of give you a breakdown of, oh, we have 10 picks till our next pick. Do we reach for a goalie here? Do we reach for a defense? Helping us round out our roster. And I have to double check, but I think that league is a PIM league. So we'll get that all sorted out before, because that drastically changes a number of players, like Marchand and stuff like that.
Yeah, say Marchand moves up to fourth, I would say, almost, or something disgusting. I'd rather have Marchand than McKinnon in a PIM league.
Yeah, probably.
As disgusting as it sounds, but I mean, you'd almost have to draft him. Yeah, it's something to think about again. We haven't done PIM last year. We got rid of it, so I have to get back in that PIM brain again and be like, oh, Wayne Simmons, these kind of players exist. Yeah. So, no, it'll be a lot of fun. I've never done anything like that. It'd be cool to break down our picks and the ideas behind it. So, yeah, hopefully you guys can listen to it. Maybe it'll help you with your guys' drafts. I hope you're not drafting yet. It's a little early for that with all the RFAs
not signed yet.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you can learn something like that, and of course give us feedback on the draft, the things you think we reached on, or etc. So I think it'd be a really cool episode.
Sweet. At Fantasy NHL, right? NHL talk on Facebook and Twitter. Hit us up and we'll walk you guys through some drafts, answer some questions as it gets closer to the time to do our hockey drafts. That's it. That's all we got. And like Jesse said, we will be starting the Metro.
Nope.
We already did the Metro.
Yeah. So I don't know. One of them, Pacific, Suno,
Central.
Like that.
Central. Central will be like Chicago and Nashville, St. Louis, Winnipeg, those guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. And we will see you then. Let's go watch some football, Jesse.